Item on the agenda are standards from the, or regulations from the professional standards boards. We do have four that are on our agenda for action this evening. We have with us tonight Dr. Linnea Bradshaw, Executive Director of the Professional Standards Board, to present information on these regulations, any public comment that was received. Again, as a reminder to everyone, we have had these on our agenda for information previously, and also have had some discussion on these. So with that, Dr. Bradshaw.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here with you tonight again. First on the agenda is Regulation 1503, which is educator mentoring. We were changing the name to Comprehensive Educator Induction Program, which is what it's titled in the statute. We talked about this briefly last month. We received no comments on this regulation. Are there any further questions?
Okay, if there are no further questions or comments from the board, is there a motion to approve Regulation 1503, Educator Mentoring, as currently presented?
Lo Fink, so moved.
Audrey Noble, second.
Ms. Smith, if you could call the roll.
Mr. Brittingham.
Yes.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Mr. Lo Fink.
Yes.
Dr. Noble.
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney.
Yes. The motion carries. Next on the agenda is Regulation 1543, Secondary Science Teacher for Action.
I also presented this to you last month. We've been working on this one for well over a year. I'm really excited about the changes, and that hopefully, if this passes tonight, that these changes will go into effect for the next school year that allow for teachers who have chemistry, biology, physics, or physical or earth science to be able to teach physical science or integrated science, and the modification of the passing scores for the praxis. Are there any other questions?
All right, if there are no further questions or discussion from board members, is there a motion to approve Regulation 1543, Secondary Science Teacher, as currently presented?
Lo Fink, so moved.
Audrey Noble, second.
Ms. Smith, if you could call the roll.
Mr. Brittingham.
Four.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Mr. Lo Fink.
Yes.
Dr. Noble.
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney.
Yes, the motion carries. Regulation 1561, Bilingual Teacher for Action.
The proposed amendments to this regulation contain no changes to requirements or practice. We received no comments when this was out for publication. Are there any questions from the board?
Okay, if there are no questions from the board, is there a motion to approve Regulation 1561, Bilingual Teacher, as currently presented?
Lo Fink, so moved.
Brittingham, second.
Ms. Smith, if you could call the roll.
Mr. Brittingham.
Four.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Mr. Lo Fink.
Yes.
Dr. Noble.
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney.
Yes, the motion carries. Next on the agenda is Regulation 1562, Teacher of English Learners for Action.
This regulation was published during the month of April. The board did receive two comments, one from the State Council of Persons with Disabilities and one from the Governor's Council, the Governor's Advisory Council for Exceptional Citizens. They supported the regulation. They were looking for the amendment to the provision for the Secretary of Education review. However, that review, the power to review exists in statute. Currently, I'm investigating as to whether or not there are any provisions in federal law that would prevent that, but I don't know that at this time. Are there any other questions or concerns?
If there are no further questions, is there a motion to approve Regulation 1562, Teacher of English Learners, as currently presented?
Lo Fink, so moved.
Brittingham, second.
Ms. Smith, if you could call the roll.
Mr. Brittingham.
Four.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Apologies, Ms. Pfeiffer. What was your vote?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Lo Fink.
Yes.
Dr. Noble.
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney.
Yes, the motion carries. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda are two regulations that will come before the board at a future meeting. Dr. Bradshaw, if you wanted to cover these, the first is Regulation 1559, Skilled and Technical Sciences Teacher.
I worked closely with our Deputy Attorney General, Laura McCransky, and also with Luke Ryan, a person you know well on this board, and his team, as well as the LNC team who handled these certificates to make sure the language was correct. There are no drastic changes in practice or requirements in this regulation. However, there are some significant amendments. Candidates still need the same three things, a bachelor's or its equivalent, an outside license, certification or registration in the field if applicable, and 6 years of experience in the career field. They need those three things, and the latter two they must enter with. And the most difficult part for the majority of people who are seeking the certificate is the education. And the main edits are to section 4.1.1, which delineates the education needed to attain full certification. As you may know, most of these teachers come in as career changers. While some already have a bachelor's, some have only a high school degree along with their technical training. STS teachers are allowed up to 6 years to complete their education requirements in order to attain full certification. And so the proposed changes are to help streamline the education process and to aid in decision making. They push the candidates directly to a degree in education or, if applicable, and if they prefer, to a degree in their career field. Of course, some STS fields do not have associated degrees. So if you read all of 4.1.1, you'll notice that even though full certification can happen prior to the attainment of a bachelor's, candidates will be well on their way to finishing and then can be encouraged to advance further so they may advance on the salary scale. Does anyone have any questions about that piece of the regulation? And so we believe those modifications will also help LEAs direct candidates to applicable coursework and programs more easily, as they should be able to fit into traditional programs. We also hope that our IHEs in the future may create programs directed toward these teachers.
Any questions?
Dr. Bradshaw, it's Lo Fink.
Yes.
Has there been any a comment, and I apologize for not being up to speed on this, has there been any comments or concerns by the state schools personnel folk about this regulation?
Luke and I presented this, I believe it was back in January, February, to the personnel administrators, The one thing they did comment is they wanted to make sure, and it was already in the regulation, they wanted to make sure that a bachelor's in the career area was an option. For example, if there is someone who is pursuing a bachelor's in nursing, that they can use that and not a bachelor's in education. There really hasn't been any comment from that group at all. It was very confusing previously because there wasn't any particular coursework, or there were courses that are outlined in the regulation that you need to take, say school psychology or whatnot, but the educator was left kind of on their own to figure out where to get those. And in this case, the things that are delineated are that you need the 9 credits in your area. Most people come in with those 9 credits because you can also substitute technical training. Most people, however, do have to do their 6 credits in pedagogy. And then if they already have a bachelor's degree, they're done. If they come in with an associate's degree, then along with their career area and their pedagogy credits, they need to have 21 credits toward a degree in education. And we're not specifying which credits those are. And so that's where it's much easier for someone to jump into a program. And then if someone comes in with only 2 years of technical training, or 2 years of college or technical training, then the credit count would be 36 plus their 9 and their other 6 for pedagogy. So, and that's the credit count hasn't changed at all. It's just the content of the types of courses that they can take.
Thank you. I know that there was, and I honestly forget, but I can remember getting a letter or emails today from the state personnel officers of the school districts about a regulation, but my mind is foggy on that. And I was just wondering if there was anything forthcoming on that, but I guess we're going to find out if there is, but thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Very unlikely that it's about this regulation.
Okay.
And the appropriate comment venue would for them to be submitting it, because it's up for publication, would be to submit it to the comment box at DOE at this point.
Right. So. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments for Dr. Bradshaw? Okay, if there are not, we can just move on to Regulation 1581, School Reading Specialist.
So 1581, School Reading Specialist, I began work on this regulation also more than a year ago. One reason to revise was the introduction of a new praxis test in the fall of 2021, which is coming up. It was in the fall of 2020 when they launched that first, the new reading specialist praxis. A team of reading specialists reviewed the praxis in March of 2020, just before we closed for the pandemic, and recommended the new test for adoption. And so that's how the whole ball roll got started. And in the course of revising, it was discovered that we needed to change the accreditation language, as the current regulation states that the program needs CAPE special program accreditation, and that no longer exists. The stakeholder group, which consisted of members of the Department of Education, as well as the heads of our only 2 reading specialist programs in Delaware, decided on language that aligned programs to the 2017 ILA standards for reading and literacy specialists. And however, our revisions did cause some controversy. When initially published in November, we received 4 comments, 2 of which stated that the board should be aligning this regulation to the IDA, or International Dyslexia Association standards, rather than the ILA, International Literacy Association standards. Because the board has no expertise in reading specialists, it decided to hold a public hearing on the matter in February, which I believe at the public hearing we had 3 speakers. And then at its March meeting, the board deliberated on the in-person and written comment. We received, I think it was something along the lines of 6. And excuse me for not knowing the number exactly. written comments during the time it was republished from January 1st to March 1st. And then at its March board meeting, the board deliberated on the in-person and written comment and decided to abandon the changes and hear further from experts. The board just didn't feel that it had enough expertise in the area. And when it comes to aligning standards in a university program, that was a very, very big decision to make without more input. So for the April meeting, we had a panel. We had the special ed director from the department. We had two reading specialists who work in districts, one at an elementary school and then one at the district level. And then we also heard from the department again and heard from the University of Delaware. And after hearing the presentations, the board decided to republish the original revision. Are there questions, thoughts, comments about that process? I did just want to add that some of the comments at the board were that there may be some benefit to adding parts of the IDEA standards to the regulation. It did not seem wise to allow programs to choose, nor did it seem wise to simply apply both. Additionally, it was the view of many panelists that the ILA standards were sufficient. And generally, under this type of circumstance, the board might have decided to wait to amend and just set the regulation aside until the situation became more clear. However, the transitioning praxis creates an issue. The current praxis will sunset on August 31st of this year, and we will not have a test if we do not adopt the new regulation, which adopts the new praxis. And the new praxis test is aligned to the 2017 ILA standards for reading and literacy specialists.
Dr. Bradshaw, this is Audrey Noble. I just have a question. Is there any, could there be any influence of the SB 133 that Senator Sturgeon has presented in the legislature about requirements for education prep programs in the area of reading? Could that have any influence on this particular regulation or not?
Well, I don't think it has any influence on the regulation itself.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because if I understand it correctly, the elements that are in SB 133 are things that wouldn't conflict with the ILA standards, even if they're not called out specifically in the ILA standards, it doesn't conflict with those. And so I don't think it will affect this regulation in particular. Now, going forward, and we don't know what will happen with subsequent or not, you know,
right,
legislation in the future,
right,
that may affect quite a few of our regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And whether, you know, it just remains to be seen whether that will trigger IDEA alignment or how that's actually going to work. I mean, part of the issue with IDEA alignment is that is for teachers of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's not applicable to reading specialists, it's also not tailored toward reading specialists. And so, you know, it's just a really big decision and not knowing if you're going to create issues by doing so, by changing your alignment. That's a very difficult decision for a board to make, I think.
Yeah, I understand that. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of attention to this issue and getting this, getting the teaching of reading right, you know, and so that all of our kids can read. And, you know, there's been a lot of effort by our board, the P20 Council, now legislature is involved again, and your board. And I just feel like these areas of certification are really critical in the expectations that they set, because I'm a true believer that the regulations that your group puts out, plus the legislation that comes from across the street, really affects higher ed programming. And it does move them. You know, if it doesn't exist, they just kind of fall back on, I mean, I spent plenty of years in higher ed. They fall back on, oh, we're following the professional standards, and they can stay under that umbrella for a very, very long time. So I'm just seeing, as this is coming up from Senator Sturgeon, and you know, I'm glad to see that we're getting more and more focused on this. And I'm just wondering if you anticipated anything that this is going to be back around at us, if this is
if there are further bills, that it's entirely possible that this will come back around. Because I do believe that Senator Sturgeon is planning further work on this, but I can't speculate as to exactly how that's going to play out.
Right. Well, thank you for that.
Any further questions or comments? And this will come back in front of us again, I'm sure. Well, it definitely will for action, but as Dr. Neville said, a topic that has a lot of attention.
Yes, it does.
Okay, if there are no further questions, Dr. Bradshaw, thank you very much. We appreciate your time with us tonight.
Thank you.
The next on the agenda, Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association regulations for discussion. And there are two regulations that we have for information this evening. So we'd like to welcome back Donna Polk, Executive Director of DIAA, Bradley Layfield, Chair of DIAA Board of Directors, and Mike Rodriguez, Associate Secretary of Student Supports at the Department of Education, to speak about the regulations. So the first one is Regulation 1009, High School Interscholastic Athletics.
Good evening, Chair.
I don't know if you're kicking it off.
Yes, can you hear me? I'm sorry, can you hear me?
We can, but it's a little bit faint.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Sweeney and the committee, for allowing us to present tonight the amendments that we're proposing. So before you tonight, we have Regulation 109. It Section 1, we are proposing 8 new definitions, and we're revising one definition. And then Section 3 of 1009, we are looking at addressing some of our health and safety requirements. One of those requirements would be to address the physical requirement for a student's participating in conditioning programs to have a physical. Next, we are also asking and looking to have our coaches that are certified emergency or volunteer coaches have CPR, AED, and first aid training to oversee any workouts or conditioning programs, open gym programs, and informal instruction. This would allow those overseeing particular programs to be able to be equipped for any emergencies should they occur. Section 4 is changing the title and provides language that permits student athletes to participate on non-school-based teams during the year. Section 6 is where you'll see the biggest changes or amendments to the regulation. This section was restructured to include current regulations and proposed regulation addressing out-of-season and summer activities, as well as contact requirements. This regulation outlines what coaches are going to be able to do during the academic year with their school-based teams and during out-of-season coaching periods. and doing also sharing what coaches are able to do out of season with their non-school-based teams. This section is also addressing the guidelines specified in Concurrent Resolution 79. Dr. Layfield, is there anything else that I missed in this regulation that should be shared? Not sure if he's on, but I'm not sure if there are any questions regarding Regulation 1009.
I'm going to open it up to the board for any questions or comments.
It's Lo Fink, Ms. Polk. I know that at the last DIA meeting, I heard mentioned that June 17th. Is this the regulation that's out for a public hearing on June 17th, or is that amendments to this regulation?
Yes, this is the regulation that will be discussed at the June 17th public hearing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Are there any further questions, comments, while we have Ms. Polk on the line with regards to the regulation in front of us? Okay, I'm going to take that silence, but there are no questions at this point in time. If you wanted to move on to Regulation 1011, interscholastic athletics during COVID-19 pandemic.
Yes, thank you. Regulation 1011 was our amendments we created to provide the health, address any health and safety standards that we needed during the health pandemic. And we are providing amendments or proposing amendments to align with the state of emergency guidelines that have changed throughout the year. So Section 2 would add one definition. Section 3 would remove the pre-participation for physical requirements that were applied during the 2021 school year. Section 4 is going to remove the sport risk levels of low, medium, and high risk, and that's going to align with the guidance we received from the NFHS and the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine. And then Section 5, we are removing the dates and designated for 2021 sports playing seasons and any sports specific requirements that were in 1011.
Are there any questions or comments around Regulation 1011?
Madam President, Slow Fink, just real quickly, Ms. Polk, I thank you for your efforts this last year. You guys had to put up with COVID, football scheduling crisis, football realignment, out of season coaching, and dealing with the Sunset Committee. I guess when you look at a regulation like this, 1011, there's so many kinds of possible moving parts with maybe more a governor's update or possibly the pandemic coming back or something. Do you see a way that maybe we could short circuit some of this, that every specific regulation regarding COVID or this pandemic, we could short circuit it in some way and not have to have it come before the school board, a state school board? I'm not being lazy. I just wonder about some of this because you guys have to make a decision on the fly. And the timing of all this has to be very frustrating sometimes.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it can be frustrating at times. We are evaluating the regulations that we currently have in place, and we will continue to communicate and collaborate with DPH as it relates to what we potentially will have in place during the start of the next academic year to try and see what regulations we need to continue to have in place. If there are going to be regulations that we need to remove, we're working with the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee to look at that so we can make sure that from lessons learned that we can try and make sure that our regulation are as seamless as possible, as you just stated, to kind of prevent what we have gone through this year. So lessons learned, we are looking at what needs to be in place while collaborating with DPH on particularly what we need to possibly address in these regulations.
Thank you for your efforts. I'm sure Tommy Neubauer doesn't want to come back.
No.
Are there any further questions or comments around Regulation 1011? Okay, then thank you very much, Ms. Polk. We appreciate your time tonight with us, and we're looking forward to seeing public comment at June 17th. Okay, all right, thank you very much. Thank you. And if there are any questions, you know, again, please feel free to send them to Ms. Honor, and she will make sure that she connects with Ms. Polk if there are any questions prior to June. Next on the agenda, Ms. Honor, if you could just give us a brief update on regulations that will be coming in front of us.
Yes, not much of an update. Actually, this month you have the list available to you of regulations that are up and coming from the department as well as from the Professional Standards Board, aside from the ones that were already discussed tonight. I don't think there's anything specific that I wanted to bring to your attention. But as I said, you have the list, and if there are any questions related to those, I'm happy to try to answer them.
Great, thank you. Next on the agenda is going to be public comment. Again, if there are any questions, if you do not ask tonight, always send them to Ms. Honor in between meetings, and she will make sure that those are addressed. Next on the agenda, public comment on regulations. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on regulations. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not sign up and plan to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the questions box now. If you are only participating via phone and wish to make a verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting or URL. And also just please note the board will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. Ms. Honor, do we have anyone signed up?
We did not have anybody signed up prior to the meeting. We did have someone who submitted their name in the questions box. Not clear if they would like to provide public comment or if they would like to, and if they would, if it's on regulations or generally. So Ms. Erin Baer, I'm going to unmute you. If you would like to provide comment, please let us know. If not, then we will move on. I think she has just logged off the meeting, so I'm going to go ahead and say she does not want to provide comment.
Okay.
So no public comments on regulations at this time.